book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children. Now, let me ask you right now. If you are somebody's child, raise your hand. Just checking, you know. A few out there we're not too sure of. I remember talking to my high school class a number of years ago and explaining to them that the chances are pretty good that if your parents didn't have any kids, you wouldn't either. And generally, I'll have one or two of the girls argue with me about that because they love children so much that even if their parents never had kids, they still would. And so we begin with children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our Father, I pray that you'd bless us. I pray that you would teach us today. I pray that we would listen to you, that we might be better parents, better grandparents, better church members, better at everything we do. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Today being Baby Dedication Day, we're going to go ahead and talk to parents about bringing up their kids. And all the kids say, amen. Preach to those parents, right? And they'll do a better job. Parenting is a tough task. Someone said you spend the first 2 years of this child's life teaching them to walk and talk, and then the next 18 telling them to shut up and sit down. And that's not far from the truth. If that's not bad enough, siblings show up, and they bring sibling rivalry. And that's always fun. Apologize to your brother. I'm sorry you're so stupid. Parenting is a tough job. It is a 24/7, 365 or 366, depending on what year we're in, job with no vacations, no sick days, and no personal time. It can be the most rewarding thing you have ever done when you do it right. Proverbs chapter number 29. Hold your finger there. We're coming back. But Proverbs chapter 29. Verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 17. Correct son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And that does happen. Let's begin with the to-dos and then the to-don'ts of scriptural parental requirements. Things we're supposed to do and things that we're not supposed to do as parents. So number one, the to-dos. What are we supposed to be doing? In verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter number 6, again, we read, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wives in this section of Scripture are supposed to support. Husbands are supposed to sacrifice. Children are to obey and honor. And parents, that's what the word fathers there literally means. It means parents, both father and mother. Parents provide. That's their job. They are to provide in what they do. They are, first of all, supposed to provide the environment. Provide for the environment. We read here, bring them up. Bring them up. Literally means nourish to maturity. You are to nourish your children to maturity. The fact is, it is your responsibility to do so. You are required by God to provide for the necessities to help make your children mature. You're to give them what they need so they will mature. You are to nourish them to maturity. Now that is necessities, not niceties. Amen? Now if you talk to children about what they need everything. I need that, but I need it. And we really know what they need, and we are to provide what they need. Amen? Listen, it's your job to do that. Not the government's, not the villages, not people, parents. God gave children to parents. And it's the parents' job to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It is our job as parents to provide the environment for our kids to be nourished to maturity. It is also our job, our responsibility as parents, provide for their education. Provide for education. The word nurture there, we're told, but bring them up, back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture there means to disciple and to discipline. To disciple and to discipline. Now, disciple means we're to train them to adulthood. It is our job to train our children to adulthood. Jesus Christ took His disciples and He trained them. He trained them to be what He wanted them to be. And that is our job as parents. We are to train them to adulthood. Notice I didn't say tell them to adulthood. The fact of the matter is, if telling were training, our kids would be brilliant. You need to hear that again? If telling were training, our kids would be brilliant. They don't need to be told. They need to be trained. And it involves more than just telling. Your job is to bring them to adulthood. And that is to educate them mentally and educate them spiritually. Amen. You are to bring them up in the Lord. You're to bring them up so they know they got smarts, they've got brains, they've got intelligence, they've got an education. But you're to bring them up with a heart that loves God. Amen. Disciple them to love God. And that is more caught than taught. They get that from you. You heard me say it in the Sunday school hour. If you weren't here, you missed it. Come next Sunday, 10 o'clock. I say all kinds of good things in the Sunday school hour. They all come from the Bible. So come on out. I mentioned it a couple hundred zillion times. You go through the Bible pattern and you watch life and you find out that your kids will be a little bit less of a Christian than you are unless God gets a hold of their heart. That's what happens. We go from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges, and in three generations, we find them not even serving God. Why? Each successive generation was a little bit less committed to Christ. We need to make sure we're committed to Christ and our kids know it. Amen. Make sure they know it. Disciple, but also discipline. We need to discipline our children. We need to chasten them when they do wrong. They need to be punished when they do wrong. It is your job. It is your responsibility to do that. No one else is going to do that. If you leave it for the government, you'll find out they will do it when he's 18 and put him in jail. Someone said, and I've said this before, you give a pig and a boy everything they want, and you'll have a very good pig and a very bad boy. You need to discipline your children. It is your job. You see, parents are required to be parents. Parents' job is not to be their friend. Amen. We saw a video. We watched videos by Pam Stenzel, and she is an abstinent speaker who goes all across the country and excellent speaker, and she does some great things. One of the things that she tells all of her crowds were that she was brought up, and she was the, I don't know where to start from here. She was conceived in rape.
and her mother decided to put her up for adoption instead of having her murdered. And her line is, I didn't deserve to die for my father's crime. She's absolutely right. But she says she thanks God for her adoptive mother because her adoptive mother brother brought her up and her mother was strict. She was tough. And she said, my mother was never concerned about being my friend. She had friends. I had friends. She was concerned with being my parent. She said, and I thank God for her and for that. Amen. Parents, we need to be parents. We need to go ahead and understand we've got to discipline them in love. It is for their own good. We've got to bring them to a place where they are self-disciplined adults. Amen. That is our job. One of the things that you need to teach them is they need to put Jesus first, others second, and themselves last. Come on. Amen. We need to put Jesus first, others second, ourselves last. You need to teach them that they are responsible for their actions. That there are consequences to every choice that they make. They need to know those things. They need to understand those things. They need to grow up getting those things. You need to discipline them. That's what discipline will do. Provide for their education. And then you need to provide for their emotional well-being. Provide for their emotional well-being. The word admonition there, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, carries the idea of exhorting and admonishing them. And it places its emphasis on the words that you speak. It places its emphasis on what you say, your speaking, your communication, and the things that you say to them through what you say and how you say it. And that is very important. You need to make sure that your kids, number one, feel loved. It's sad to say, but you know the most common words that young people here are the words, I'm too tired, there's no money, and be quiet. Wow. What an indictment of us. We didn't make them feel loved. How do you do that? It comes with your words. Convey love to them. Touch them. Look them in the eye when you talk to them. Focus your attention on them when they are with you. Put down the newspaper. Put the things around you. Put them away. And focus in on them. You do love them. There's no question about that. Make them know it. Amen. Make them feel secure. Secure. There are two ways to make children feel secure. The first one is to love your spouse openly. Your kids need to know you love your wife. You love your husband. You love them. They need to know that. They need to see that. They need to see that demonstrated visibly every single day. Amen? Amen. Used to be an old bumper sticker. Have you hugged your kids today? I got a better one. Have you hugged your wife in front of your kids today? They need to see that. They need to know that. That makes them feel secure in that home. Make sure they are secure. Second way is to make the boundaries known. Understand that they want to know where the boundaries are. They want to know how far they can go. They want to know where they should stop. They want to know the boundaries. And you as a parent are the one who's supposed to set up those boundaries. Amen. They've done studies over the years. Psychologists have done studies over the years where they put children in a backyard with a fence. And those kids run everywhere in that yard. The fence is there. There are clear boundaries. And they play all over that place. Then all of a sudden, after months of playing with the fence, they remove that fence to see what the kids will do. You know where those kids play? In the middle. Right in the center. Why? Well, there were clear-cut boundaries, and now there aren't any. And they don't really know what's going on. Parents, it is our job to set boundaries. You can do this. You cannot do this. You can go here. You cannot go there. You can speak this way. You may not speak that way. They can be your friends. They cannot be your friends. It is our job as parents to set those boundaries. Amen. And when we do, even when they buck against them, even when they fight against us a little bit, they're glad that they get a parent who will tell them no. Amen. Because understand, when there's that tough decision at school about what they should do, they would like to be able to blame you. I can't. My mom and dad said no. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. Set those boundaries. Then you need to make them feel liked. Isn't making them feel loved the same thing as making them feel liked? No. You need to make them feel like you like them. You like being with them. You like spending, what's the word? Time with them. Your most important resource is your time. You got money? You can make more. You got energy, you got other things. Time. Spend time with them. Amen. To do? What are parents to do? We are to bring them up. As we're told in Ephesians 6:4, nourish to maturity, bring them up. Don't simply let them grow up. They're going to grow up. We need to bring them up. And that takes work. Amen. Number two, the to-don'ts. Things we're not supposed to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, we are told, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath. Literally, don't exasperate them and make them bitter. Do not exasperate your kids and make them bitter. Don't do it. Lauren, when she was real little, my wife was teaching kindergarten, used to be babysat by Melanie's mom, Pierrette LaMontagne. And Melanie's mom is French-Canadian. And so it was interesting, the conversations that Lauren and Pierrette would have. One day, my wife went to pick her up, and they were having a little argument about how to pronounce the word earth. E-A-R-T-H. And the French-Canadian, Mrs. LaMontagne, would say, no, it's ert. Ert. And little two-year-old Lauren would say, no, it's erf. It's erf. So the two of them were having an argument whether it was erf or ert. And my wife was called in to settle the argument. No, you're both wrong. It's earth. To which Lauren, in only a way a two-year-old can say, don't aggravate me. We are not supposed to aggravate our kids. We're not supposed to exasperate them and make them bitter. How do we do that? What are we not supposed to be doing? Let me tell you. Let me give you some ways to exasperate them and tell you how to avoid those things. First of all, avoid conditional love. Avoid conditional love. When you're dealing with the kids, don't tell them or don't give them the idea that I love you if you do certain things. I love you if you get good grades. I love you if you do these things. Or I love you when. Or I love you because you do those things. Do not give your kids unconditional love. Or conditional love. Love them unconditionally. Let them know you love them no matter what. You will love them no matter what. And you begin to put the parameters on love. And you begin to say the things like, I love you if, or I love you when you do those things. I love you only because you do those things. We begin to make them feel like there could be a time when you don't love them. We will exasperate them. We will provoke them. And we will bring them bitterness. Avoid inconsistency. Avoid inconsistency. Understand that inconsistency drives kids nuts. It does. It drives kids nuts. When there's parental inconsistency, when mom and dad don't agree on something, that is a problem for little Johnny and little Susie. Okay, I've told parents before, and I'll tell you, when you have a disagreement on how to deal with your son or your daughter, you go into the bedroom, shut the door, and argue it all you want to quietly. Then you make a decision, and you come out, and you stand before those kids united. This is what we're going to do. Amen. Do not allow them to get between you. Don't allow that to happen, because they'll get between you and they'll start a fight between you and they'll walk away smiling. Pastor, you make them sound like monsters. If they're unsaved, they are. And if they're saved, they still have the sin nature living within them. Understand, if they can get between you, they will. It was a rule in our house when the kids were little. If dad tells you no, you can't ask mom. If mom tells you no, you can't ask dad. That was a rule. And they got in trouble if they did. Understand, parents need to be on the same page all the time. When you're not, and you'll have disagreements. You're two different people. Go in the bedroom, shut the door, and quietly hammer it out. And then come out united. Sibling inconsistence. If you've got kids, the rules are the same for all the kids. Now, I understand there will be age things and age-appropriate things where those things start to tend to be, but you need to be consistent. If it's wrong for this kid, it's wrong for that one. If it's right for this one, it's right for that one. We need to be consistent along the board. And then discipline inconsistence. If something's wrong today, it should never be okay tomorrow. If it's wrong tomorrow, it shouldn't be okay today. Right? And remember, some of those things that they do when they're three, if you're not going to laugh when they're 16, don't laugh when they're three. Okay? Understand, be consistent in those rules. One of the most important things you can be as parents is consistent. The same. All of the time. It's not easy. It takes work. But it is important. Avoid inconsistency. Avoid favoritism. Avoid favoritism. My favorite kid. Her favorite kid. No. Avoid favoritism. That always has devastating results. Got a couple of illustrations in the Bible. Remember Jacob and Esau? Jacob, let's make me feel better. Jacob and Esau. Mama loved Jacob. Daddy loved Esau. And those kids hated each other. Right? They hated each other. Just a sideline here. There's a little thing that always goes around every number of years called a Mizpah charm. And it's a charm that's divided in half. And the boyfriend gets half. And the girlfriend gets half. And it says some of the effect of, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are apart one from another. And they think it's so cute. We each have half of this charm. And it comes together to form a heart. And problem is, it was said by Jacob and Esau, who never wanted to see each other again. It was, yeah, good to see you, brother. I'm glad you're here. And the Lord watch between me and thee while we are apart one from another. I hate your stinking guts. Why? Mom and Dad played favorites. Remember Jacob and Joseph? Jacob have a favorite son? Joseph. His brothers, let's see, what's the word? Hated, despised, could not even think of a nice thing to say to him. Plotted to murder him and simply just sold him off into slavery. Wow. Don't compare your kids. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you do this? Why, don't compare them. They're all different. Avoid favoritism. Avoid overprotection. Avoid overprotection. Don't get to be that kind of parent that won't let your kids do anything because they might get hurt. Guess what? They might get hurt. And if they're boys, they're going to get hurt. And every now and then, they need to get hurt. Ouch, I can't believe you said that, Pastor. They need to know that any kind of wound or broken leg or broken arm is not going to kill them. And all the moms are cringing right now. It is not going to kill them. In fact, it's good for them. Now, don't you go do it. Pastor didn't say that. I'm saying let them play the game. Don't be that overprotective mother. They might get hurt. I can't let them out of my sight. We need to watch that. Avoid underprotection. That's neglect. Or it doesn't matter what they do because you don't know. Not knowing what is going on in their lives is crazy. It is your job to know what is happening in their lives. You need to know who their friends are. You need to know what's going on in school. You need to know what places they are going to. You need to know all these kinds of things you need to know. You are their parent. You need to foster the relationship where they will talk to you about those things. And you need to know. There should be no password on anything that you don't know about. Come on, you should let them know, I can read your email. I can read what's going on. I'm the parent. It's my job. God told me to do it, and I will do it. There's no such thing as privacy. I'm in charge because I love you, and I want the best for you. Amen. And kids, if your parents do that, they do love you. They do love you. And they've been down the road, and they want to make sure you're okay. Amen. Understand, get that. Avoid discipline in anger. We're to discipline our children. Never discipline them when you're mad. Never. How do you keep from doing that? Well, you discipline. First time, every time. What does that mean? Well, if they do something wrong, they get disciplined the first time. And every time they do it. Problem is, we wait till they've done it 3 or 4 times, and then we're mad about it. I told you not to do that. I told you not to say that. I told you. And then we discipline in anger. And that is dumb. Never get angry. And if you discipline first time every time, you'll never get angry. It's just, this is what happens. I need to train you to do what's right. So you do what's wrong, you're getting punished for it. It's that simple. First time, every time. You see, kids learn what you teach them. And if they don't obey you until your voice gets to 120 decibels, that's your fault. Because you've trained them at 120 decibels, you mean business, and not before. If they don't obey you until you threaten to break an arm, that's your fault. That's how you've trained them. But funny is, when they're running out the driveway, heading for that road, and you see that car coming, you want them to stop the first time you call their name. Come on. Not until you get to 120 decibels. Number one, that's what they need to be trained to do. It doesn't come in anger. Anger doesn't do it. Discipline, first time, every time. When we're angry, that's when abuse takes place. Don't discipline your kids because you're embarrassed. They did something wrong in public and they embarrassed you, so you discipline them. No. That is never the reason to discipline a child. Discipline them because they've done wrong, because you want to train them to do right. Never because they've embarrassed you. Lastly, avoid divorce as best as you can. Children pay the price for divorce. They do. Studies done in young children of divorce, what they feel is pure terror. They don't know what's going on or why it's going on. Older children, school problems happen. They aren't doing well in school. They're acting out in school. Things begin to go wrong in school because mom and dad are getting a divorce. Teenagers blame themselves. Had I been a better kid, had I been better at what I was doing, it wouldn't have happened. Mom and dad would still be together. It's not true. But it's hard to get that to them. Almost anything you would not want to happen to your kids is the consequence of divorce. Avoid divorce. Parents, it is our job to bring them up. Not allow them to grow up. To bring them up for God's honor and God's glory. And when they're adult children serving God, it's all worth it. It is all worth it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be parents. Thank you for our children. I pray that every parent in here would understand their responsibility. Understand there are some things that they are supposed to be doing, some things that they are not supposed to be doing. And I pray you'd help us to see that. Lord, if we've messed up in one of these areas, I pray that we'd seek your forgiveness, seek our children's forgiveness, and move forward doing what is right. Because we can. So, Lord, bless. Work in every heart. Lord, every parent, every grandparent, every future parent. Lord, work in our hearts right now as we make decisions. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, this morning you say, Pastor, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I know it. Pastor, I'm raising my hand as a testimony to the fact that I'm saved. Put your hand up. God bless you. Amen. 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 That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. Amen. Christian, there is no perfect, not a one of us. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to make sure your kids will turn out right. Nothing. But there are certain things you can do to guarantee they'll turn out wrong. That's what we want to avoid. And if we will do our part, what we're supposed to do, God will work in their hearts. You say, Pastor, pray for me that I might be the best parent, the best grandparent, the best child, the best member of my family that I can be so that God might be glorified in my family. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm even saved. I don't know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins have been forgiven. I don't know Christ. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, I pray you'd bless down this invitation. Draw us to you, that we might live a life that pleases you and raise up a generation of young people that loves you and serves you. Bless now. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 635. 635. If God has spoken to your heart, if there is a decision that He wants you to make right now, as we sing on verse number 1, you come. Make that decision for Christ's sake. I'll be waiting for you right down front. If you need to speak to me right now, you come.